This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abdullahi wa rasuluh. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد Always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We testify with firmness and conviction that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. I remind you, my brothers and sisters in al-Islam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us while inviting us and warning us and admonishing us to be from those who have an awareness and a consciousness of Him, a taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this was the wasiyah, the legacy and the advice that was given to those who came before us, wa iyyakum, and to our final ummah, the ummah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an ittaqullah, be aware of Allah, be conscious of Allah. Be conscious of our dealings with Him and our dealings with those who He has created, the Umam that have come before us and the nation that we live amongst, the proud nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ali Imran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who have come to believe, O you who have accepted faith. And it's a past tense. Allah acknowledges that we have submitted to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that submission does not deter us at times from straying off the straight path, from falling off the cliff that leads us into a way further and further from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, you in particular, not Ya ayyuhal asoon, not you sinners, but you of belief, ittaqullah, be mindful of Allah. Think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala حَقَّ تُقَاتِ, in the capacity and to the measure and in the ability that was given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He, the Most High, deserves of you. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, and endeavor to live upon it as long as you live, so that when you meet Allah, you remain in that state of awareness, of consciousness, of readiness and vigilance to be on the path that leads you to Jannah. Hadithan al-yawm, our discussion with you today, ibadallah. O those who have come in the worship of Allah, O those who have gathered in this blessed Tahir Masjid, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously every time we visit this blessed city and country of Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur, to always increase it in khayr, and to increase its people in love and mercy. I always remember the first time I opened a dictionary and opened the internet and opened an encyclopedia. Where is this Kuala Lumpur? What does it mean? Coming from Canada where I'm from, where am I going? And I come to recognize that these two words, they mean truly what you see in the land and the people. A gathering of different colors of silt and mud, from different rivers and ethnicities and origins that have come together and mixed together to build a society, alhamdulillah, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to maintain it as an example for the rest of the Muslim world. Our topic is Jannah. But it's not the topic that you desire maybe to hear from me today. You might want to hear about the trees of Jannah. Some of the brothers might want to hear of the hur of Jannah. You might want to hear about the rivers of Jannah and the houses of Jannah. But our topic is more practical. Our topic is about this dunya And the time we spend here that is confined and decided for us by Allah. And how utilizing it and preparing ourselves through it can we accept our maq'ad in Jannah, our place in Jannah. And I want you to visualize this authentic hadith of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want this hadith to be the theme of our discussion today. كما روى لنا الإمام مسلم. الإمام مسلم narrates to us in the authentic hadith. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدخل الجنة أحد بعمله. Not a single person shall enter Jannah, shall enter the gardens of delight and paradise based on the workings that they have done in this life. Wallahi, I and you will not pray enough, will not fast enough, will not give enough charity, will not care about other people enough that on the Day of Judgment that we can stand before Allah the Almighty and say, where are my keys? Which house in Jannah is mine? I've worked, I deserve it. I've done my salah, I've done my hajj, I've done my siyam. It's my turn, where is my place? La wallah. No one will earn it. The Sahaba sitting and stunned as you and I in understanding this hadith, they wonder and question themselves. They said, Ya Rasulullah, wala anta. Not even you, O Messenger of Allah, have done enough that you deserve and earn by merit of your deeds a place in Jannah. قَالَ وَلَا أَنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He, the most blessed of humanity, says, no, not even I have done enough to enter Jannah. This puts fear into my heart and yours. How then do we enter? He continues, صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, إِلَّا أَن يَتَغَمَّدَنِ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ. I shall only step in after the mercy of Allah covers me. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, ya ibadallah. The mercy of Allah is the aim that we seek in this worldly life. Because what we have been given in pleasure and reward and happiness and comfort can never equate to the little that we do in pleasing Allah the Most High. And therefore Allah tells us in the authentic hadith, narrated also by Imam al-Bukhari wa Muslim, hadith Qudsi, the Prophet tells us what Allah said other than in the Qur'an. Allah says, لو أن إنسكم وجنكم, if all of you and all of the jinn, على أتقى رجل واحد, it's as if you were one person with one pure heart, and all of you put your hands up and asked for something. And I gave everything and everyone what they wanted. مَا نَقَسَ مِن مُلْكِ شَيْءٍ. It will never diminish my dominion and my power and my majesty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah has given you, إِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ, singular, Allah says, if you were to try to estimate one of the blessings of Allah, one ni'mah, not ni'amallah, ni'matallah, la tuhsuha, you will not be able to gather it. You cannot comprehend it. If I was to explain to you, and to sit and you and I to make a list of the virtue of your ability to move unaided, from the time you were born until the time you die, you will never recount every step you took. Every dollar or ringgit you earned because of the movement of your body and the movement of your mind and ability. You cannot gather it. So how can you be thankful enough for it and at the same time seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala its reward? We've come to understand that al-Jannah ghaliya, Jannah is expensive. It's not just you have this high hope and you say, I've prayed and I've fasted and it's enough. La wallah. It requires diligence and effort. And this is the discussion that I want to have with myself as a dialogue internally and with my brothers and sisters here today. Jannah, my dear brothers and sisters, has been huffat bil makarih. has been obscured and clouded behind what from the outside seems to be difficulties and hindrances. And therefore you find that the faithful believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is able to answer the call to prayer, the one who is able to remain upon as-sirat al-mustaqim, the one who is noble and upright ala istiqamah, upon a straightforward way of life, they are few in number. And they are the ones we example ourselves in accordance to their deeds. We look at them as a way of nourishing our soul. We want today to begin by setting a methodology. A methodology of returning to Allah. And a methodology of increasing our need for Allah. And a methodology of bettering ourselves as human beings through the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear brothers and sisters, the only path to Jannah is the path of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For a Muslim, the only way to come and stand at the gates of Jannah is through Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lifestyle. Now when we talk about this lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not clothing and attire. It's not simply insha'Allah, masha'Allah, jazakallah. It's more than the outward manifestations of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do not discount that. That is an essential. But the crux and the truth of the way of life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that his tawheed of Allah, his seeking Allah in every aspect of his life, led him to an exalted standard of character. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You, O Muhammad, are on the pinnacle, the highest, the greatest standard of character and etiquette. That isn't just manners. It's not just doing the right thing for the right person. It was a consistent way of life of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Even and related to days before his Islam and the revelation of the Qur'an to him. You find him as a Sadiq al-Amin, the trustworthy, honest merchant, before you learn of him as a Nabi al-Mursal, the Prophet who was sent as a messenger to humanity sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore we want to identify, what does this sunnah mean? If the sunnah is my path to Jannah, what does it mean? How do I know it's what takes me to Jannah? Rawa lana al-Imam Muslim. An Imam Muslim records in his authentic hadith. Qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-Jannah. Every single one of our ummah shall enter Jannah. All of the Sahaba rejoiced, illa, except man aba, the one who says no. Can you imagine, my dear brothers and sisters, you come to the gate of Jannah, you're about to enter Jannah and you say, no, not for me. I'm happy. Now, how? قَالُوا مَنْ يَأْبَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Who, in his right mind, in any condition, would allow himself to know how to get to Jannah and say no? مَنْ يَأْبَى. قَالَ مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي. The one who obeys me. Not obeys Allah. Because the obedience of Muhammad entails the obedience of Allah. The Prophet doesn't say the one who obeys Allah and me. He says the one who obeys me, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. دخل الجنة, shall enter. ومن عصاني, the one who obeys me, not just obeys Allah, has refused. And this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, puts us on that road which is called the Sirat al-Mustaqim. We just led, alhamdulillah, our Imam led us in Salah, Salatul Maghrib, and he recited a surah that is the opening chapter of the Qur'an, Surah Al-Fatiha. In it is the most used dua we make in our day. We say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Oh Allah, lead us to that straight path. Whose path? صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. The path of those who walked it before me. من هم؟ من الذين أنعم الله عليهم؟ Who's the ones who Allah blessed? Allah tells us in Surah An-Nisa, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. They are the ones Allah has given blessing. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ, from the prophets who walked before you. وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ, those who accepted it as truth. The Sayyid of them is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu ardah. والشهداء, and those who were martyred for the defense of the truth. والصالحين, the faithful and practiced in their relationship, the masters of iman. You make that dua, and you ask Allah to lead you to that straight path, the one that was followed by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what is sunnah? We know its importance. What is the sunnah that we're talking about? It means the natural way of life. Fitra. It is how you were intended to live. It is kindness, mercy. You know, part of our deen, the great imams, they tell us, Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, wal Imam al-Ghazali, they say this often. It is more important to be kind than right. It is better to be merciful than right. You can be right and strict. I'm right. You have to listen. It's better to be kind and right than to prove you are right. Rahmah. Let me give you an example from the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because his whole life was rahmah. His mission was rahmah. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We only sent you, O Muhammad, as a mercy to all that exists, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Look at the mercifulness. Look at the kindness. We know from the authentic traditions in the seerah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to live next to an older woman who did not believe in him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And whenever he would come past her door, she would open her door and take her garbage, her refuse, her rubbish, and greet him with darkness of faith and throw it at him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Day after day, week after week, for a time period. Until one day, this woman doesn't come out to throw garbage. The next day, she doesn't come out. The third day, she doesn't come out. So our Prophet ﷺ knocks on her door and says, "Ma bikum? What's wrong?" And the lady says, "Why are you coming to my door and asking me what's wrong? How do you know something is wrong?" He says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Yani, you have this auspicious way of greeting me. Every day you see me, you come out and say hello in your special way. And it's been 3 days, and I thought, annaki ishtakawti, you know, there's something wrong." She says, "Waladi yaskunu amami." My son, he lives across from me. Lam ya'udni, hasn't come to check on me to see I'm sick or I'm unwell. You, the man I throw garbage at, knocks on my door before my children, before my loved ones. Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify you must be a messenger of Allah. Kindness. Another incident from the life of the Prophet ﷺ. After the conquest of Mecca, the Prophet begins to make his tawaf around the Kaaba. He's cleansed it from the idols and he's beginning to make his tawaf. And one of the chieftains, one of the ashraf of Quraysh, could not accept it. Fudala could not accept that the Prophet ﷺ has come back to Mecca. So he hid within him a small dagger, a sharpened knife, tipped in poison, and he put it in his hand, and he hid it, and he began to follow sallallahu alaihi wasallam around the Kaaba. And Fudala, who narrates to us this story, he says, "I came close to him, And all of a sudden, he stopped, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, waltafat. He turned completely to face me and pointed at me and said, مَا تُحَدِّثُكَ بِهِ نَفْسُكَ. What are you thinking inside you? What are you planning? Fudala says, جِئْتُ تُقَنْ. I've just come to learn your form of piety. I'm here in peace. Prophet ibtasam, smiled to him. Now you would think this man would think. He would say, uh-oh, how does he know? Someone's telling him. He continues, he says, فَدَنَوْتُ مِنْهُ. I came closer. The Prophet continued, I came closer. I'm nearing striking range. فَوَقَفْ وَالْتَفَتْ إِلَيْهِ وَقَالَ مَا تُحَدِّثُكَ بِهِ نَفْسُكَ. He stopped and he looked at me and he pointed me out and he said, what are you deliberating in you? What are you thinking about? قُلْتُ تُقَنْ. I've come to learn about this piety you're showing. And he smiled at me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and continued his tawaf. حَتَّى اقْتَرَبْتُ. Until I was on him. I am in striking range. فَوَقَفَ وَالْتَفَتَ إِلَيَّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that moment, the Prophet stopped and turned and put his hand on my chest. He reached out to his enemy. Not in defense and not in aggression. He put his hand on Fudala's chest and he said, مَا تُحَدِّثُكَ بِهِ نَفْسُكَ يَا فُضَالَ. What are you thinking about? Fudala says, وَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُ. By Allah, now who I declare there is no God but He. He did not touch my chest except that I hated no one more than Him. وَمَا رَفَعَ يَدَهُ عَنْ صَدْرِي إِلَّا وَهُوَ أَحَبُّ الْخَلْقِ إِلَيْهِ. And by Allah, the moment he had taken his hand off my chest, I loved no one more than him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not just his yad was sharifa, noble and blessed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it was a sign to Fudala. I have 10,000 people here with me in Mecca. And I could say to Umar or Ali, grab him, he has a life. Allah has informed me. I gave you one chance, second chance, third chance. Until now you are in front of me and you still want to harm me. But what does the Prophet ﷺ do? He disarms him with kindness. He disarms him with love. He disarms him with affection, with forgiveness, with mercy. This is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the rahmah of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the man that many in the world cannot understand because they hear and read what confuses them about his character. And sadly they read it about our actions in pretense of him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rahmah. The sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also ilm, knowledge, and seeking to understand greater about where we live. We're beginning to now see that the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requires diligence. It's not just prayer and fasting, the outward motions. It's actually putting upon us a form of kindness that escapes us at times when we are under stress and in fear. And the greatest kindness you find in the life of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was in a time that many of us would cower and be fearful to display it. His kindness was in the face of aggression, not in the face of kindness. Another path that we see that leads us to the sirat, the straight way of life of the Prophet ﷺ is al-ilm, is knowledge, is seeking to learn and to understand. Ponder and consider the significance of the first letters, the first words delivered to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ through Jibreel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders Jibreel to come to the Prophet ﷺ, وَهُوَ فِي تَفَكُّرْ. The Prophet had developed a habit of tafakkur. He would sit and ponder. He would look up into the heavens, and he would look out into the distance of the desert, and he would think about the depth of the oceans, and about the places where the winds have traveled. He would think where this food that he has eaten has come from. This ground that was barren, that now bears greenery, and has become lush after a few drops of rain have descended. He looks and he sees this, and he follows in the path of every person who came before him that was led to Allah. He's come in the way of Ibrahim, who would look up into the sky, and he would say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Our Lord, this wasn't created for no reason. This didn't just come from itself. And as he would sit, فِي غَارِ حِرَاء, kilometers and miles away from Mecca. Those of you who have visited, inshaAllah, in your Hajj, may Allah write it for you and I. When you go up into the mountain, it's not around the corner. He would leave Mecca. He would go up far away from the busyness of the cosmopolitan lifestyle that they had developed. And he would sit in that isolation, thinking about his Creator. He knew what they worshipped is not it. And in that moment, the first word that will answer the questions of that tafakkur is iqra. Read. Now that word read in Arabic, it doesn't mean read to yourself. It means iqra liyasma'ahu ghayrik. Read so that others can hear it. And therefore we call our imams and those who lead us in prayer, qari', a reader. Because he reads for us so that we can think and listen and hear. Iqra', study, understand, deliberate, reflect, gain wisdom, seek knowledge. Iqra'. In that same set of verses, Allah uses important trigger words. Iqra'. علم علم taught, that Allah taught, بالقلم the pen, علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم, has allowed mankind to discover what they do not innately know. And therefore you and I must see that path to Jannah as a journey of knowledge. And therefore in the authentic hadith narrated by Ashab al-Sunan, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا. The one who travels a path, seeking from it wisdom and knowledge, the sacred knowledge of what is enough to lead him to Allah, سَحَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will make an easy path to that man, that woman, to Jannah. When Safwan came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as is narrated in the Hasan Hadith by Imam Abi Dawood and others, Safwan comes and asks, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Inni jittu atlub al-ilm. I've come to ask you about this sacred knowledge. The Prophet at that moment was reclining. He was half laying down, ala burdin lahu ahmar, on a red carpet or a red oversheet that he used to wear. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَ, when the Prophet heard this question, قَامَ وَجَلَسَ وَسَوَّى ثِيَابَ, he sat up and made his clothing nice. And he said, مَرْحَبًا مَرْحَبًا بِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ, greetings and greetings to the one who has come to learn about his relationship with Allah. إِنَّ طَالِبَ الْعِلْمِ تَحُفُّهُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, the one who's come to learn something about this sacred knowledge that leads us to Allah, the angels tahuffu, encircle him. Tahuffu means envelop him, cover him up, obscure him from evil. That those who seek evil of him can't see him. Tahuffuhu al-malaika. وَيَرْكَبُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا حَتَّى يَبْلُغُ سَمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا. They ride atop of one another, building a structure above him, until they reach the heaven of this worldly life. Knowledge is important. It is the first step of Tawheed. It is the first step of recognizing your Creator. And therefore Allah says directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Surah Muhammad, فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Come to true knowledge and certainty that none is worthy of worship but Allah. You have to know it. You have to seek a path to understand it. All of the prophets before us asked questions about faith, about sensitive issues. And one of the things we encourage our younger brothers and sisters in faith is to question. Ask. One of the Sahaba, كَمَا رَوَى الْإِمَامُ الْبُخَارِي, one of the Sahaba fell off his horse, split his head, cut himself open, bleeding everywhere. They tied him up. They put a bandage on it, tied his turban tight. When the time of Salah came, he said, how should I make wudu? Should I open it and put water? All of them said, what are you talking about? The Prophet ﷺ, he taught us how to make wudu. You're going to make bid'ah now? You make wudu the way the Prophet said? ﷺ. They didn't ask him. ﷺ. They made the man take off his hat, his turban. He unleashed the bandage. Blood came out. He died. They came to tell the Prophet ﷺ what happened. He said, قَتَلُوا. This is like murder. أَلَا سَأَلُوا. Couldn't they ask? إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالِ. The cure to ignorance is to ask a question. Ibrahim asks Allah, رَبِّي أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. In Surah Al-Baqarah, my Lord, show me with my eyes, not in a dream, don't tell me, show me, رُؤْيَ الْعَيْنِ, how you will bring the dead to life. Allah says, أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ. Is it because you do not believe? He says, بَلَا وَلَكِنِّي يَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. I believe, O Allah, I just want my heart to be at ease. Ibrahim, Ummah, a nation of Iman, his heart had a little bit of unease. I want my heart to have tumaqneena, tranquility, yatma'inna qalbi. So he asks Allah. So Allah doesn't say, just believe. Allah shows him. Take some birds, cut them up, different shape, different color, different size, mix them up into small pieces, put some on this mountain, some on this mountain, some on this mountain. ثُمَّدْعُهُنْ. Invite them to you. يَأْتِينَكَ سَعْيَا. You will see them come together alive in front of you. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And know that Allah is capable to do everything. Musa asks Allah, يَا رَبْ أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. In Surah Al-A'raf, allow me to see you with my eyes. I speak with you, allow me to see you. Allah doesn't say no. Allah says, لَن تَرَانِي. You will not be able to see me in this life. وَلَكِنْ أُنظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ. But I'll show you why. Look to that mountain. إِنْ إِسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي. If it remains, you will see me. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ. When Allah تَجَلَّى الْجَلَاءِ. When Allah displayed some of His majesty to the mountain crumbled. وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا. And Musa fell down dead. And Allah brought him back to life, كَمَا يَقُولُ ابْنُ كَثِيرٍ وَالطَّبَرِي. And Allah brought him back to life and let him live again after that moment. Allah answers the question. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable. Knowledge. Ask. Seek. Deliberate. Learn. Don't just accept, it was told. My elder said. Learn. Why? And this is the way that leads us to the Jannah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for our ummah. We've come to learn that the path to Jannah, you know, it begins with an intentional kindness, an intentional mercy in our dealings with others. And the mercy that we extend to others is a reflection on the mercy that we seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also have come to learn that it's important for us not to just placate ourselves and pretend our belief is complete, but rather to question our core and our iman so that we find the answers that gives us the yaqeen and the certainty that we seek to build a true relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once that is accomplished, the third step and third stage becomes at the forefront in our path to Jannah. And that is the treatment that we extend to those nearest to us. And you find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a master in his ability to persuade those who were near to him to come to a path of truth. It's wondrous when you see that the first people to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were his family. Why is this important? Why is it important that Khadija and Ali, his nephew, and Khadija, or his cousin, and Khadija, his wife, and his best friend Abu Bakr believe him? Because it shows you that the Prophet ﷺ, the life that he lived, made those who knew him best trust him. Sadly, for many of us, if your wife, you come home to her with incredible news, and you say, "Listen, honey, I've gotten, you know, all this, something out of this world." And your wife, who has been living with you for a few years, who knows you're not worthy of carrying it, she sees you sleeping through Fajr. She sees your unkindness at times. She sees you're not the ideal human being. The first thing she would say is, what are you talking about? Why would Allah choose you? Right? But what does Khadija say to the Prophet ﷺ? It's not just a virtue of Khadija, it's a virtue for Muhammad ﷺ. The woman who knows him best, who bore his children, who sacrificed her time with him, who's lived with him intimately, secretly, behind closed doors, the moment he comes with something outstanding and incredible, she's the first to believe him. She says, "Yes, I believe you. Because you are kind in your treatment of others, merciful to those others object to. You fulfill the ties of the womb. You're good to your cousins, and you're good to your uncles, and you're good to your grandfather. I've seen your inner life." Abu Bakr, his best friend, says, "Of course I would accept it. Even if everyone rejects it, if it's just me and you, I accept it." On the day of Isra and Mi'raj, when the Prophet had told the people of Mecca, Abu Bakr had not yet heard. And the people of Mecca, they came to Abu Bakr and they said, "أَسَمِعْتَ مَا قَالَ صَاحِبَكْ?" Do you know what your friend said, Muhammad ﷺ? He said he went from here to Jerusalem, up in the sky, and come down and in half a night. And Abu Bakr says, "إِنْ قَالْ فَقَدْ صَدَقْ." I'm not going to go ask him. If what you say is true, if what you say is true, he's truthful. I accept it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Radiallahu anhu arda Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. To be his best friend and to have that certainty is a testament to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's relationships with those nearest to him. Now that's a lesson for you and I. On the Day of Judgment, my dear brother, in al-Islam, the questions that you will answer are not just about yourself. You will be asked about your wife. You will be asked about your children. For some, you may be even be asked about your grandchildren if in your care and under your authority. And in the authentic hadith, we see that the women, they will bring their husbands, يَسْحَبُونَهُمْ, dragging them by their collar. Allahumma sallim sallim. The brothers are sweating, nervous, and it's rightful. You will be asked. And she will say, "Answer on my behalf. Why was this not done? Why was this not fulfilled?" The nearest to you is the most important to you on the Day of Judgment. And therefore Allah says, "Al-akhillah." The best friends, the most intimate partners, the greatest neighbors are the ones, بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ, will be enemies of one another on the Day of Judgment, إِلَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ, except those who have that consciousness and piety. And therefore that path to Jannah leads you to perfecting your home life with your spouse. That's why of the last words of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to our ummah, to the Muslim men sitting here today and those who will hear it after, from the lips of the Prophet ﷺ, استوصوا بالنساء خيرا. Treat your women well. أنا خيركم لأهلي. I'm the best, meaning between me and Allah, I'm the best of humanity, and I'm also the best in my treatment of my wife and family. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The path to Jannah is through your wife. The path to Jannah is through your husband. Your husband comes home from a long day of work. He comes home, where have you been? Why are you late? Of course he lives in Kuala Lumpur. We know the traffic situation. Right? Where have you been? Why are you late? The Prophet ﷺ, he gives an image. You know, he says in كَمَا رَوَى الْإِمَامُ مُسْلِمُ خَيْرُ الدُّنْيَا حُلْوَةٌ خَضْرَى. This worldly life is beautiful in its greenery. It's beautiful in its commodities, the things everyone wants. Everyone wants to attain things in it. وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِهَا. The best thing for you and I, our Muslim men, al-mar'atu salihah, is a righteous woman. It doesn't mean someone who lives in the masjid, prays and fasts, and I'm going to hajj, I'll see you later, honey. La. Al-mar'a salihah. How does he describe her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? التي إن نظر إليها زوجها أصرت. She's the woman, her husband sees her from a distance. She doesn't know he's looking at her. He looks at her from far away. He sees her, in his heart he finds happiness. That's the good woman. That's the greatest thing in life. المرأة الصالحة makes you happy. Even she isn't near you, just thinking of her. And therefore, this is a path to Jannah. It is what leads you to Jannah. That relationship between our homes and our spouses and our children becomes more important than the kindness we spoke about before, even to our neighbor, even to our workmate, even to our friends. And therefore you find the Prophet ﷺ distinguished himself in that pursuit. I wish to conclude by reminding us of a beautiful statement of the Prophet ﷺ. He tells us and asks the ummah, asks the sahaba, should I not tell you how to go to Jannah? They said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. How? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, love one another. Mahabba. Love one another. Not give each other money. Not pray in the masjid. Not, you know, not the things that we normally think of. They said, how do we love one another? He said, أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Increase your brotherly salam. As-salamu alaykum. You and I say, oh brother, you know, I say salamu alaykum all the time. No, that's not what he means, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salamu alaykum is a dua. That you meet me, you may not know me. But we meet each other, and because your heart is clean and it's pure, that you ask Allah the Almighty to bring His peace to me and my family. So you say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I respond, dua to Allah. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That takes you to Jannah. One day, the Prophet ﷺ, he knocked on the door of one of the Ansar. And they can hear people inside. Nobody answers. He knocks again, second time after waiting. No one answers. Knocks again, third time. No one answers. And the sunnah, after three times of invitation or seeking to enter, no answer, leave. And as he begins to leave, the lady of the house opens the door. And she says, وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Because every time the Prophet knocks, he says, السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ يَا أَهْلَ الدَّارِ. السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ, O people of this house. He said, ما بكم? Why didn't you answer the first time? She says to him, Ya Rasulullah, I like to hear you making dua for my house. I would leave you all day. Come, knock again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaykum. Dua of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how the Sahaba understood it. It's not, hello, how are you? Good day, mate. La, assalamu alaykum. Afshu salama baynakum. Tahabattum. You will increase the love with one another. You will enter Jannat as-Salam. You will enter the garden where its entrance begins with As-Salamu Alaikum. The moment the angels greet you, the angels will say, As-Salamu Alaikum. Tibtum fatkhuluha khalidin. Peace be to you. You've done well to reach here. It wasn't easy. There wasn't any shortcuts. You had to be merciful to those who were harsh. You had to seek knowledge about your faith. It's not just given and granted. It's not just I'm going to read my Quran to myself. No, you come and learn. It's not just my wife, we've been married for many years. We argue, we forget about it. You work in your way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no easy way that will lead you to Jannah because it is ghaliya. It is a place that requires effort to arrive at it. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you and I from the people of Jannah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in our love for one another. And to increase the harmony that we have for one another. And to put barakah in the homes that we share with our families and spouses. And to mend the relationships that may be broken or about to break. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah in our children. To make them love the Qur'an. And to learn from the Qur'an the things that they may have forgotten. And to help them learn from the Qur'an the things that they have not yet learned. And to help us and all of those who believe in Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to apply the Qur'an in our day-to-day life. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Ali al-Qadir, who has joined us from different places and different time zones and different countries, joined us only together because of our love for Allah in this blessed masjid, to join us all again in Jannatul Firdaus with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who leads us upon the as-sirat al-mustaqim through his sunnah and upright way of life. I ask Allah al-Ali al-Qadir to bless us with the sunnah and the love of the sunnah and the love of those who seek to attach themselves to it. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك أتوب إليك. وصلي اللهم وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you.